up, everybody? Welcome once again to another episode of Plenty of Noise. I'm glad you guys tuned in. This is the emo / pop punk / alternative rock podcast and radio show on the interweb and also on Radio Firework. It's a thing that I've started doing a couple of months ago, just out of pure boredom, really, but I've developed a great, great passion for this. This is a show in which I get to talk to other people from our scene, from the emo and pop punk scene, about what it's like to be a member of the scene, to be a member of a band, to be a musician, and to be a rock musician in times like these, in years like the year 2021, which is still defined by the coronavirus pandemic. And also, rock music in general isn't really the flavor of the month anymore. So this is my show. My name is Nick. I am your host. I'm a musician myself. I sing and play guitar in a band called Cadet Carter. Please go and check that band out. shamelessly plugging my own stuff here. If you are into like emo and pop punk music, this is just for you, just like this show is. So the last episode that we did, the guest that I had planned, he bailed on me and he left me he left me to my own devices. So I very spontaneously decided to do a show that was full of like songs that I liked, that new songs and old songs that I wanted to show you guys and talk a little bit about them. Thank you all for tuning in last time. And I've received a lot of messages about that episode, so thank you very much. And one of the topics that came up the most was people were asking about a guy and the song, about a song that I played by a guy named Brian Swindle. And there were a lot of messages saying that song is great. What else? Like, can you get him on the show? And so I did. I reached out to Brian, and thankfully he agreed to come on the show. And this is the new episode, and he's the guest on Plenty of Noise episode 8. So without further ado, here is my conversation with the great singer-songwriter Brian Swindle. He used to be the mastermind and the lead singer and guitarist in a band called Have Mercy. He is from Baltimore, Maryland, the United States of America. And I used to be a big Have Mercy fan. I still am. And they called it a day in early 2020. Their farewell tour got cut short by the pandemic. And I had actually, I remember thinking, I wonder what that guy is about to do next. And for the first couple of months, it looked like he had quit the music business altogether, which, as our conversation will show you, he actually did. But we talked about what made him decide to call it a day in the first place, and also what made him decide to come back now and release music as a completely do-it-yourself artist and under his own name, because he could have gone on with the name Have Mercy, and things could have been easier marketing-wise, but they could have also been way more complicated, I think. So, without further ado, here is my conversation with Brian Swindle on Plenty of Noise. I wanna know who I am, I need to know how to get her. I wanna know if the man in the mirror can be better for you anyway. Better for you anyway.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
Okay, good, good.
You can. Hi, Brian.
How are you?
Pleasure to
meet you. Nice to meet you, Nick.
Thanks for doing this.
Yeah, no problem. No problem. I haven't done a podcast in a while, so this will be fun.
Cool. How are you then? How are you coping?
I'm doing all right. You know, just been hanging out indoors, doing a lot of nothing. How about yourself?
Doing a lot of nothing myself. Doing a lot of useless songwriting. I don't know about you. So that's the only advantage that I can get out of this whole situation is I do have time to write a ton of songs. They're not necessarily my best ones, but I do get the time to do it.
Yeah, it's definitely nice having all this free time, but hopefully we can actually get back on the road soon. Yeah. I don't know how the climate is where you are, if you guys are having shows or anything.
Not a single show. We've done, like my band, we've played, the last show we did was in September. That was like a socially distanced thing at the Olympic Stadium because they needed a lot of space for like 500 people.
Right. That's crazy.
That was basically it. It's sad and dark in Europe right now. And we're not good at this vaccination game either, it appears. So you guys are way ahead of us right now. So
We'll see. We'll see how it pans out. I think we have another year till things are back to normal, but that's just a guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God. So there's two optimists talking about
it
right now. Yeah, it's going to be at least another year. So
such a lively podcast.
So I've been trying to get you on the show for some time. Like, this is just a thing that I do that I've started doing in August of last year, mainly out of boredom because my band couldn't really tour and all the musicians that I knew couldn't really tour either. So I thought, let's just do this podcast and talk about the music that we all love, like the kind of music that we all love, and the art of songwriting, and also a bit about the music business, because as far as I know, you have become kind of a DIY musician yourself now, haven't you?
Yeah, no label, no management, no anything. Just kind of hanging out and writing music.
How does it feel? Like, do you like it? Or
I really like it. I feel like I'm not being as productive as some of my peers, but I don't know. I enjoy the freedom of not having any schedules, any timelines. I can do whatever I want, release whatever I want, whenever. It's beautiful. It's I'm on my own time schedule, so it works for my lifestyle.
Cool.
Yeah.
I think you've worked with, was it Hopeless Records that Have Mercy were on?
Yeah, we were on Hopeless Records for maybe like 5 years, and we were on Top Shelf Records before that. We were signed from like the second we became a band. It happened very quick. So I haven't really known the music world outside of having a label, having a manager. And this is a lot more fun. So
cool. It's good. Everybody says that. Like every musician that I've ever talked to who like went DIY, who was like signed to a label, a big label, who like did all the touring, did all the like album releases and all that kind of stuff. The minute they are onto like left to their own devices, they enjoy it so much more. I don't know why that is. Why do you think? Is it because of the pressure that's like off, or why is that?
Yeah, I guess it's because the pressure's off. I also don't think that I used to complain that labels and management put a lot of pressure on myself and my band, but I think we put pressure on ourselves to, you know, to constantly tour, to constantly be creating new stuff and never giving ourselves a break. And, you know, now it's, you know, I think the songs that I'm writing now are a lot better because I have such, you know, I can take a step back and look at them differently and take my time on them. And it's, you know, I'm not spending somebody else's money in the studio and, you know, have to stick to a strict schedule or anything.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. Would it be a fair statement to say that you were like sort of the mastermind behind Have Mercy? Like, would that be a fair statement?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it was myself and our old drummer started the band like what year is this? 2021. So shit, almost 10 years ago, we started this. And then we had different members over the years, but you know, I was the main songwriter.
And
did pretty much everything for the band.
That was, I was asking myself, because what made you decide to abandon the band name? Because you did a like farewell tour, and you were on tour with The Dangerous Summer, for example, weren't you? A good friend of mine.
And, yeah, I saw you talked to Matt before.
Yeah, Matt that was cool. Just great. And was there ever a time where you thought it would have been easier for me to keep the Have Mercy name or brand, to use like a marketing language here, and like keep going?
Yeah, definitely would have been easier. I got a lot of like, so when we did the Have Mercy Farewell Tour, I was going to just completely quit music. Like I was done with it. And then, you know, COVID happened and I was like, okay, I'm home. I'm doing nothing all the time. And I, you know, some of the things I had career wise planned when we came from home from the tour, that it was all gone because of COVID. So I was like, all right, I guess I'll release some music. And I really was just done with the Have Mercy moniker. And like, I have a lot of animosity towards that project. And like, I don't know why. It's just like, we've had our ups and downs. And I just was like, it's time to leave it behind, you know? But so mainly it's a personal thing.
Okay. So that was, when was that? Like late 2019, something, early 2020 then?
Early 2020 is when we were calling it. It was, we were on tour when COVID hit and had to, cancel the last week of the tour, the farewell tour, and come home.
Yeah. So we have something in common, because I was about to like quit the music business in like mid 2019, I think, because I was just so sick of the whole thing, of the whole like talking to people that I don't really want to talk to, and you know, like being nice to people that are like complete assholes. It happened all the time, and I'm back into it now, and I was wondering what made you, like, was it just the COVID thing, or did you miss, like, do you miss touring? Do you miss like being out there?
I don't know if I miss touring so much. I learned that I can't separate myself from music too much. It's kind of all I know. I have to stay creating something and, you know, have my little projects. And what's cool about doing it all myself now is that, you know, I'm not hiring people to do artwork. I'm learning to do it all myself. I'm not hiring any producers. I'm doing it all in-house. Like this kind of like takes up all my time. I just really enjoy doing it this way rather than the old manager label way.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
It's just a liberating experience, because I've been watching you doing what you are doing now, I was a fan of Have Mercy, and I really liked your first like songs that you put out under your own name. But the Burst EP really made me a fan of yours, because I thought those songs are so timeless. So we were in the car, the drummer of my band, Benny, and I, we were in the car, and your song came on, Light My Fire. And he was like, what year is this? And I was like, that's actually brand new. That was only released, I think, 2 weeks ago or something. And he said, it sounds like, that song sounds like it's 10 or 15 years old. And then he paused for a minute and then he went, it could be 20 years old as well. Or it could be from last week. So that he meant that in the most positive way. He was just like, it doesn't sound like a 2021 record or a 1995 record or a 2005 record. It's just, it's very, are you going for like timeless songwriting, or is it, or the, also the sound aesthetics that you use, or is it just something that happens?
It's pretty organic. Like when I was doing Have Mercy stuff, I always tried to like, force the songs to be a certain thing. I was listening to a lot of Manchester Orchestra and like heavy, I don't know, emo music, and was really diving into that. And I always wanted to have Mercy to stick in this certain lane.
Yeah.
And with this stuff, I just feel like I can write whatever. Like, I feel completely free.
Cool. It does sound, it always sounds like you though. So that's like, because when we made our first record, we were listening to like what music was coming out at the time. And one of those records was like the make the best of it record. And we listened to it and we were like, that sounds great. We should stick to that. Like, we want a sound that's like similar to this, and just going with what you're saying. But the minute you stop thinking about these things, it's like, don't pretend to be something that you're not, or don't try to be something that you think, I don't know, might work in the scene or people might like or something. It's such, then it gets back to why you've started making music in the first place. So it's just like, I have to like it and I have to be excited about it, and the rest is just like secondary then, you know. And I think that comes across very much in your new music, in the music that you've put out over the last couple of months. It sounds like someone is free from all of those things, you know, like I want to achieve this, or I want to be on that label, I want to be on this tour, and that's just it's very refreshing and also inspiring. And I guess my question is, what will come after the pandemic for you? Like, are you planning on going on tour again, or will it be more or less a studio project?
I don't, that's a big question. My girlfriend was asking me this last night. She was like, do you think you want to tour again? And I think I'll probably end up doing it at some point. But right now I'm like focusing on, you know, building a home studio, and I really want to work with other artists and help grow their sound. And it's funny, like I have the same feeling now creating music as I did when I started Have Mercy. Like, it is completely free, and I'm not trying to like pigeonhole myself or put myself in a box. And I really want to take this feeling and I guess do good with it in the music world and just kind of help artists grow in the right way. Because as Have Mercy, we made all the wrong choices. We made some of the right choices. I've seen the good and the bad. And I would really like to give back to some artists. So hopefully I can just be involved in the music scene in some way. And if not, then I'll find something. I don't know what I'm going to do yet.
Is this, I don't know about you, but I have this love-hate relationship with touring. So
yeah, what do you hate about it?
Everything apart from the playing.
Yeah, like, pretty much.
I mean... I do have this like almost romantic like thoughts about people in like five guys in a van, like doing their thing, being a gang, and like being like this tight group of people, like us against the world, all that kind of stuff. But all of that goes out the window after like the second day of like farting and like people smelling badly, and it's terrible. And then like all the waiting that you have to do, like
doing nothing.
Yeah, we were on tour, like when we're on tour, we're mostly the like opening act, and then you have like 30 minutes of like playing, and the rest is like setting your gear up, getting your gear off stage, and then it's just like waiting around until the headliner's done, waiting for the bus call. It's like when I'm home, it always like, I'm always like, oh, I really want to go on tour right now. And I could really do with like 2 weeks of like touring. And after like 3 days away from home, it's like, I call my wife and I go, I think I'm going to quit the band. I'm going to come home.
It's draining
relationship. Yeah. But there are people like those road dogs, you know, that are like into that kind of stuff. Like AJ from The Dangerous Summer is one of those guys. He enjoys it so much. And I envy
him. Loves it.
I envy him so much for it. I remember watching him in a bar in Cologne after the gig. We went out somewhere, and he was just like having the time of his life, and he was like, no man, it's great. I'm on the other side of the world. And he was really appreciating it so much. And I felt so bad because I was like, I should be having a great time right now as well, but all I want to do is like go to bed.
Yeah, but that guy has a positive attitude about everything. He's just so, I don't know. He's just always excited about life. I tried to live up to that when we were like, we used to hang out all the time, and I'm like, I can't be that excited. I'm a pessimist.
Yeah. How does he do it, man? He should write a book about it.
He may one day. I wouldn't doubt it.
So another thing that I wanted to talk to you about is the circumstances of the music business right now, because, I think you might be an album guy yourself, like a guy that's like into like proper records, and you might be into the vinyl as well. But that's like, because we are talking about this in my band all the time, it has gone, like the music business has gone back to like being a bit like in the 50s. So people release singles like every 3 or 4 weeks, and the albums are just like compilations of all the 12 songs that they have released like over the last year. So do you like the Spotify singles game, or is it something that you like despise even, or don't really enjoy?
Growing up, I loved full albums and the idea of making a perfect record. But now, I mean, I think it's just the way of the world is that we have to release singles and then everything on a full album is like a compilation. It's just our attention spans are just so much shorter now. I love releasing just singles. I think it's way smarter, and you can really focus on like songs rather than a whole record. And you know, if you focus on singles, then every single is going to be really good, rather than like doing a whole record and having some songs you skip over because you know you're just writing it as filler for the record.
Yeah.
I like the singles game. I don't own one piece of vinyl. I don't own any
really?
Vinyl.
Wow.
Yeah. So I'm all about the singles.
Cool. Yeah, I think what people, especially in like rock bands or rock music artists have, I mean, some of them, many of them, I think have a hard time adjusting to like that environment, because they are like into the, let's make a double album and let's release like special editions and all that kind of stuff. And all people want to have is like, give me that song. I'll put it in my Spotify playlist and I'll just stream the shit out of it. And it's a completely different game. And I don't know. Don't you think that like writing every song to be like with that thought in the back of your head that it should be a single does make you a more commercial songwriter?
I wonder. I hope it does. I mean, it's a good mindset. I just think I'm releasing just singles now. The last couple of things I released are just singles, and it's just I get to put all my focus into that. Hopefully it ends up commercial, but I don't know yet. I'm still in this like trial period of if any of the shit I'm doing is going to work. I don't know if it's going to work or if I even want it to work, if I'm just enjoying the ride right now.
Yeah.
I'm in this like crazy transitional period in my life. So most of the questions you're asking, I'm like, I don't know, but I figured, I don't know. I haven't done a podcast in a while either or done any press. So this is just fun.
Yeah, that was what I wanted to ask you. Like that was my next question. Like what do you do marketing wise for your music? Do you do anything, or is it just I'll just put the song on like all the streaming platforms and see what happens?
I mean, that's what I'm doing. I'm just throwing shit at a wall to see what sticks. I mean, I could go out and hire a publicist and like really do the PR push. But at the end of the day, I don't know how much of an impact that'll make. Yeah. And, you know,
I don't think I've seen you do any live streams either.
I've done two like live streams, but I didn't promote them much. And it's not really my thing. I don't really enjoy it.
I don't think it's anybody's thing, really.
Yeah, I know. Like, people keep trying to sell me on it and getting me to do it. And they're like, you can do X, Y, and Z, and you can even charge money. And I'm like, I'd rather play a show. Like, that's kind of what I want to do.
We did it, man. We've done it. It's just, it's like the first thing that I did was like in May of last year. And I was just in, this is my little like basement studio that I have. And I would just like set up my cell phone and like play three or four songs on an acoustic guitar and then like stare into the lens of the of the cell phone and like you do the last chord and it's just like complete silence and you go, thank you. I guess you're clapping now. Maybe you're grabbing another beer. Where are you? Like, what is this?
I feed off that crowd interaction whenever we play live. Like, I talk to the audience a lot. And when I'm sitting there by myself in a room, it's like, who do I play with? Like, I don't know what to do.
It's like a public band practice, you know?
Exactly.
And I don't know. I haven't talked to anyone who said, like, who went, I'm really enjoying this. So most people like you said, they're doing it for the like promotion and to keep people interested in the band and or in the artist, and it's just, it does get tiring, doesn't it? I mean, we did something in February. We recorded like a concert film, if you will. Like it was more like 16 cameras. We made a lot of friends and it was very hard to do with like, and we put all we had into it. And then we like put it up on YouTube and we sold tickets for it. And it was like, and it felt like, do you know when you're on tour and you come off stage and you put on your cell phone again and you see all those messages and like Instagram, like people tagging you and that feeling. Yeah. Yeah, that you've actually made an impact and people enjoyed it and that you get messages from people like, that was really cool, man. See you next time you're in town and all that kind of stuff. And it wasn't there. So we had a couple of people like tagging us on Instagram and all that, but the feeling wasn't there. It's just no replacement at all. And I wanted to talk to you about this because I can see you doing well, like playing your songs on a guitar or on a piano or something and being like very like magical, but I guess it's nothing to that people like artists enjoy.
I think some artists should have just taken this as like an off year and just kind of just stayed away for a little bit, maybe, you know, change up their path of their music or something. A lot of bands could have benefited from just taking the time off. And I don't think anyone's going to lose interest in your band, you know, if you take the time off.
Yeah.
It's
people have other problems now. They have other problems they need to take care of. That's true. So, anything else I want to talk to you about? Let me tweak on my list real quick. The DIY approach, like, would you consider working with a record label again, or are you just done with that side of things?
No, I definitely would. I think it would actually be better working with a new label at this point than when I was younger, because I know so much more now, and like I get how the industry works, and you know how when they say there's not money for something, then you're like, yeah, I know there's money for something. And like, I get the balance more, and I would love to work with a label again. It just has to be the right label and somebody who really believes in our project.
Do you have any re- do you have like a lot of regrets about the business side of things over the last 10 years? Like if you were to do it all again, would you change things?
Yes and no. I mean, like I said, we made a lot of good decisions, but we made a lot of bad decisions because we were told to make them. Like we were just trying to be the yes men for so long and just say yes to everything to make everybody happy. And then at the end of the day, you're like, oh, like they don't understand how to connect to my fans. Like I understand how to connect to my fans.
Yeah.
And this took me 10 years to figure out. Like I should have said no to a million things and just followed the path that I knew that was right. And instead, you know, you make a lot of bad choices. Not that Have Mercy's career ever went down south, but like there's just a lot of things that would change.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, just like tours I wouldn't have taken, or you know, not rush certain records or certain singles. I would have just done a few things differently.
What made you decide to like, what made you want to quit the music business then? What, like what, if you had to put the finger on one thing?
It was definitely like the politics of the music industry. And like, I got really unhealthy touring. Like I put myself in the hospital 3 times last year to get on a serious note. Like just because I'm an alcoholic. Like I didn't realize that for 10 years. And then I got so heavy into numbing my like hatred for touring with alcohol and drugs that I took it over the edge.
Yeah.
And I like, when we stopped the Have Mercy Farewell Tour, a month after that, I was in the hospital after having a seizure. And then 2 more times after that. And I was like, I know that touring really fucked me up. Like the lack of sleep for 10 years, draining myself, you know, playing shows I didn't want to play. Like I would have taken a lot more time off. I didn't take any time off for 10 years.
Why do you think you didn't do it?
I don't know.
Was it that you feared that people would forget about you and your band?
That probably was it. And like the second you're off the road, the day you come home from a tour, they're like, what's next? Yeah. What are we doing next? I'm like, fuck, can I breathe? Like the second you get home from a tour, they're like, all right, let's take care of all the debts. Let's pay everything. And it's like, fuck, I am exhausted, dude. Yeah. Like I need a second to breathe. And that just never stopped with us.
For
10 years. And we had 4 different managers over 10 years that we, you know, butted heads with. We never found the right person. Label, you know, Hopeless Records was always great. Top Shelf was always great. But we never had the good balance. We never had the good balance to where when we were home, we could feel like the burden was off of us. Like when we were home off tour, we were still busting our asses. And there was never a break. It was crazy.
It's so interesting to hear that, because most musicians, I should say, that are not in the position that you were in, like in Have Mercy, like having like this working touring band, because that's what everybody wants to get into in the first place. But when they get there, there are so many people that don't like it.
It's
the same with me. Like I've spent years dreaming about it, and then when it finally happened and you were on tour for like 3 or 4 weeks, and then you were home for like 2 weeks, and then you were back on the road for another 2 weeks, it wasn't all that great. So I'd say I'm more of a studio guy. I can see myself not touring at all. So that part of the pandemic isn't really all that bad to me, you know. I like my basement. I can do everything I want in here. I can play music. I can write songs. I can record songs, and I can release them almost immediately. So I wonder, do you think most musicians enjoy touring, or do you think most of them do it just because it's the only way to make money?
I think most of them enjoy it. Of course, there's the gig guys, you know, who some hate it, but that's all they know. But I think most people enjoy it as long as they have the healthy balance on the road, as long as they're not partying all the time and they're, you know, they're getting up, they're working out, they're going to sleep after a gig instead of staying out all night. If you have the good balance, it's definitely doable. But we also never got past being in a small van. Like, we drove ourselves every night. We did the, you know, 12-hour shifts and then had to play a gig. Yeah. And we never got – we only had one bus tour, and that was Warped Tour. So we had to do it all. But if it, you know, if I could do a bus tour again, I would definitely 100% go.
Yeah, it was just So
it's easy to do that.
Yeah, I was 23 when my first band got. We went on tour with a 90s grunge band called the Posies from Seattle. You might have heard of them. They were like the grunge band that was great but didn't make it. So the guys ended up being in. Like, one guy was like the second guitarist in REM for a while and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, shit.
Then they got back together in like 2011 or something, and they went on tour. They came over to Europe and we were on tour with them. And the first thing that I realized was like how professional those guys were. So we were like, my voice was like gone after like 3 days of singing and then shouting in a bar, and then I don't know, singing along to All the Small Things by Blink-182 at 3 a.m. where you should be in bed or on the bus. And like after 3 days I was just fucked. I couldn't do anything. and the guys in the Posies, they must have been like 42 or 43 at the time, and they were like, they did the show, they went to the merch table, they talked to people, they had one beer or a glass of red wine. And then they politely said goodnight and left, because they had to do it for like 4 weeks. And we were like, yeah. And it was just, I guess you have to make that mistake once or twice, but you have to learn from it. And
yeah,
many people don't. And I'm glad I reckon you did. I'm glad you did.
And, I did.
And I'm looking forward to what's to come. So what are your plans then? Like, do you have any plans? Like, have you thought about it? There must have been that moment where you were like in front of your computer in your little studio and like doing, like writing all those great songs. And you were like, I wonder what I would do if someone went, hey, come out on tour with us. And that'd be like the support act. Like, who am I going to call to play drums? And you must have thought about that.
I mean, I've definitely thought about it. I will go back on the road. I don't doubt it. I think I tell myself that I won't, but I probably will end up going. But I the plan right now is just to keep releasing singles, see what really, you know, what people like, and just keep doing what I'm doing. The feedback that I've gotten on the songs is that a lot of people say this is the best stuff I've written since Have Mercy first started. So I kind of feel like I think I'm in my musical prime. Not to sound cocky, but I feel like I'm in my musical prime, and that as long as I'm feeling confident, stay healthy, and do all the right things, that all the other pieces of life should fall into place. If I end up touring again, great. If not, then whatever. But I would like to be on a stage again. That would be great.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, not to be like go all fangirl on you, but I would agree. I mean, I would agree that the songs you've put out over the last couple of months are definitely you are developing your very own sound. It sounds just
Thank you, you know.
And it's not just because of the way you sing, because you do have a very special way to sing songs, but it's the whole sound aesthetic. It's the musical landscape that it's very unique, and it doesn't sound like you want to sound like somebody else, or you want to release a song that's going to get you on like a tour that that would fit, you know, like marketing language again. But so congratulations on what you've been doing. You've got
two new songs
coming out. One's called Midnight Trips. The other one's called Everything Beautiful. It sounds like judging by the title of your songs, it sounds like you're in a good place. So
in a very good place in life, and just I don't know. Now I find myself super introspective in my songwriting now, and not trying to be, but yeah, all the song titles are very like, I don't know, retrospective.
They are very like positive, and like there's a lot of light in there. It's a change from the Have Mercy days, wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, Have Mercy song lyrics were a lot of sadness and depressing themes, but yeah, I guess it's just I'm naturally happier now, so I gotta write happier things. I feel corny sometimes writing those things, but I'm like, okay, I can't really fight it. If I'm in a good mood and writing a song, it's gonna be a happy song.
There's nothing wrong with it.
I guess
it's
not.
So I think it's so much harder to write a happy song that's not cheesy than to write a sad song, don't you think?
Yeah, that's true. Hey, I have a question for you. How did you get a hold of Brian McTernan? Or do you know him?
Yeah, now I know him. He was my first guest on the show.
Right, I saw that. I was so, like, that's such a weird first guest.
I was talking to, like, we are a DIY band now, but we have, like, still like strong ties with our old record label, Uncle M Music. They do all the like Silverstein, Anti-Flag, all that kind of stuff in Europe. And I was like talking to the guy at the record label, and I was like, I want to start this podcast. Do you have any like recommendations? Like who could I talk to that are not, because I had been talking to Matt from The Dangerous Summer, and I wanted to start out with someone that people didn't know I knew or talked to, you know, and the guy at the record label, he was like, yeah, I can get you Brian McTernan. I was like, no, you can't. And he was like, yeah, he has started this new band called Be Well, and he's released a record, and he's looking for like people to talk to, like doing PR. And it was the greatest thing. I mean, he's when we found out that he's like, he also knows Matt Kennedy, because he did the first, I think, the Graduate record, or the second one, I don't know.
Yeah, he did the Graduate. I know that. They like Brian McTernan and Paul Levitt had a studio in Baltimore, and like every band from the area passed through that studio at some point. It's just funny. I love that guy.
I know so many bands in like the UK and Europe who, that, you know, would love to work with those two guys. They are very good.
have you
listened to the Be Well record?
No, not the record. No, I listened to a single that they released, but that was about it.
It was crazy successful in our scene. Like it was really, it was not just, oh, that's like the producer of Hot Water Music with his new band. So, but it was really, there was a buzz going on. Everybody talked about it. So it's a very good old school hardcore record. So if you're into that kind of stuff, you're gonna love it.
Brian McTernan co-wrote, I think, two songs with us, and he's a genius.
I love
that guy.
He's unbelievable. Shout out to Brian. he comes up in every episode.
Does he?
Always. So someone goes, so how did you get to talk to Brian McTernan? Or, hey, how do you know Brian? And Brian was, how do you know Matt from The Dangerous Summer? So he was the
Dude, he's the best.
The thing is, I've been kind of, the whole Baltimore scene seems to be quite important to me, because I'm talking to all of you guys. But would you say there is a great scene in Baltimore going on, or is it just
I'm not sure how the local scene is now, but I know like we just had some good bands come from our area, like All Time Low or Dangerous Summer. us, I guess I'll say. But yeah, I mean, we have a tight knit community of really good artists, and we like everybody worked with the same producers growing up, so you always ran into the guys. I don't know. It's a good scene. I love this area more than anything. I love this.
And you are still in touch with most of those people, so it's also about, it's also about friendship. It's not just about the music. Yeah.
Yeah, I still talk to AJ almost like, you know, once a week. I talk to Matt sometimes.
He's moved Brian to McTern. Denver now, hasn't he? He's moved to Colorado, I think.
He did. He got married and moved to Colorado. Yeah, wow. Very cool. But those guys are fantastic. Some of my all-time best friends. Great guys.
Cool. So I don't want to take up too much more of your time. Thank you so much for doing this.
Dave, thank you for having me.
When will you be back in Europe then, when the whole pandemic's over?
I tell you, I will definitely be back there the second this is over. But yeah, I mean, I would love to tour again.
Let's join forces here and do healthy touring, 2 weeks of healthy touring.
In for that.
Are you into like running? Because I'm a very avid runner. I love to go running on tour.
I've been doing yoga now is my new thing. But no, I'm not a big runner.
Are you good at yoga?
Can you be good at yoga?
I don't, my wife is. she's unbelievable.
she left you speechless.
Yeah.
I think I'm decent at it. Yeah, my girlfriend's really good at it too.
See? My girlfriend's better. My girlfriend.
I can have a competition.
Yeah. Cool.
But yeah, we can come up with a workout regimen when we're over there.
Cool. Let's do.
Yeah, we'll have to gig together.
Let's do a bit of Zumba or something. You're in like.
Yeah, Tai Bo.
It's the kind of thing that we do.
Nice.
All right, Brian. Well, thank you so much. Enjoy the
rest
of the
day. It
was
really good talking to you.
Yes, thank you. To you too. And I'll speak to you soon.
All right, I'll chat to you later.
Cheers. Bye.
So there it was, my conversation with Brian Swindle. I want to thank Brian again for doing this. I want to thank him for taking the time and for talking so openly about what made him the person and the musician that he is now. Also, I totally recommend you guys check out everything that Brian has released so far under his own name. And also, if you've got time, check out all the stuff that he's done with his former band, Have Mercy. It's just a great body of work, and I cannot recommend this enough. Please go onto your streaming platform or whatever you guys use, whatever kids use these days, and check out Brian Swindle. And as usual, I'm going to leave you with a song by the guest that was on this episode. But this time around, I want to show you two songs of Brian's, just because he has just released a sort of a double A-side single the other day. only last week, I think. So I'm going to leave you with two songs of Brian's. One is called Everything Beautiful, and the other one's called Midnight Trips. Thank you for tuning in. Thanks again, Brian, for doing this. I'm going to see you guys on the next episode. Stay healthy, stay safe, and stay sane. This is Plenty of Noise. My name is Nick, and this is Brian Swindle. I'll see you soon.